That's what I saw. The Ran says that the issue of saying shalom is only if you're actually using it for Hashem's name. If your intention is for a person's name, it's not a problem. But there's a Shach brings in Yaradeya, there's a Shita which says even for a person's name is a problem. And therefore he talks about this issue of writing the name Shalom in a letter, he says it's a problem. And so that was the... Hence it's where Rebbe gets it from. It's a Shach in Yaradeya.
So sort of surprising people.
That's what I was going to say. Yes, it is. L'chor, you should be the Machmer, not the name of Kitchel.
No, you're allowed to use the gender. Just you have to be careful with how it's used. You don't say it a bit. You don't say it. So you got to kill a dad. You know, he's in the bathroom. You can't call him his name. You say, hey, you. You know, you don't say Shalom. You know, when he's in the bathroom.
Yeah, but that's
special. Okay, I don't know. Such a name. I mean. A name which belongs to Hashem also. It's a chashuva name. V'amar Rabba bar Machsia, Amar Rav Chama, bar Gurya, Amar Rav. And listen to Matana l'chaber v'tzarech l'hidiyah. A person gives a matana to his friend, so he should inform him that he gave it, because Tosis points out we're talking about a matana which is given for the purpose of creating friendship. So if he doesn't know who gave it to him, so it's not going to increase the friendship. Giving a matana is a person needs a matana for stalker, then the preferences should be done anonymously, that he shouldn't be embarrassed. But what one was just given for the purpose of Ava, so then the goal is to inform him who gave it, he should know. Shinemar.
Isn't this a smart
thing? Yeah. Shinemar l'das keni Hashem ekad yishchem. The verses that he gave... the Roshim gave Shabbos to Klai Yisrael, that Klai Yisrael should know that I'm the one who gives them Kedusha. So the purpose is not just that we should have the Kedusha, but Klai Yisrael should know that Roshim gave it to them for that purpose. Tanya Namichachi of Raisa, the Das Kini Hashem Mekadosh Shem. The Apostle says that Klai Yisrael should know that I'm the one who's Mekadosh Shem. Omele Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, Matana Tzaba Yeshli B'Beiske Nazai. They have a Matana. Shabbos Shmon. Its name is Shabbos. In my basic knowledge, in my storehouses. Many mevakesh litno Yisrael. I want to give it to Klai Yisrael. Leich b'hidiyom. You should go and tell them that's what I'm going to do. Mikan Omer Rav Shimon Gamliel. The price is continuing and says, and listen, pas latinuk. Tzarech l'hidiyah le'imoy. So if you take care of somebody else's child, like giving them something to eat, etc. So part of that is just you taking care of the child, but part of that will create a friendship between the families that I took care of your child, so the child will not necessarily remember to tell his mother, so you should inform the mother. My Avalei, how do you do that? So I'm Rabbayo, Sharef Mishka Umar LeKuchla. So you put a little bit of oil on his face, and you put a little bit of kuchal on his eyes. I'll get home, maybe a little bit of, you know, some type of makeup. And I'll say, what happened? He says, oh, your uncle did it for me. He also gave me lunch. Says, oh, that's so nice of him. That's once upon a time when the people took that positively. But nowadays people will take that you're trying to do some type of kishuf to him by putting those type of things in him. So my, some Rav, Papa, Shoy, Flame, Oysa, Min. He comes with a little bit of breadcrumbs on his face, she's not going to think it's kshofim. She said that's normal. He always looks who has, but you know, whenever he eats lunch, he has breadcrumbs on his face. So make sure he gets a little bit of breadcrumbs on his face. You should rub him a little bit with that min that you gave him to eat. Any friend of Markashu, the Vomer of Chamba, Berebi Chanino, and I said, Matana Chabera, ain't Sark Lahidiyoy. But you do not need to inform the person that you gave him a Matana. Shinatmar says Moshe loyada kikaron arponav v'dabrayitoy. Moshe was not aware that his face had received this. Rashi gave Moshe Rabbeinu this shine in his face. Moshe Rabbeinu was not aware of it. It means Rashi didn't tell him. Moshe says lekashra. That's not a stira. Habimilso David aligluye. Habimilso loyavid aligluye. Something which is going to be. It's going to be. Become obvious how he got it. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to find out very quickly. Somebody's going to tell him. A and B, he's going to figure out that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the one who gave it. So then there's no need to be Madia. Something which is not evidently, it's not going to be obvious how he got it or what he got, then you need to inform him. So Morris says, one second. But the source was from Shabbos. But Shabbos, Davida Ligluye. Shabbos is Davida Ligluye. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to inform Klal Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to give you the special, tell him I'm giving you the special matana. I mean, they'll get Shabbos. So more answers, Matan Schor Loy Ovid Ligluye. So Rashi says, so part of Moshe Rabbeinu's mission at that point in time was to be Medea to Klal Yisrael Baal Peh. The Torah didn't say what it was, but understanding what that Klal Yisrael should understand what Shabbos is. In other words, besides the depth of the importance of Shabbos, just the halachas of Shabbos they'll get, etc. But the Lodas Kinesh and Mekadosh Shem, to understand that Hashem is going to be Mekadosh us through Shabbos, what Kedusha Shabbos represents, etc. That was not something which is obvious. That's something which is would need Moshe Rabbeinu to inform them. Okay, the Morse says interesting story. The Morse says that Rav Chista, so when a person shechs a behema, so he has to take the zroya, the luchayim, and the keva, the foreleg, the zroya, the chayim, or the cheeks, together with the tongue, and the keva is the stomach, and those go to the kayin. And those are referred to in the Gemara's language, those are referred to as matonos, even though they're all matnas kun are matonas, but this was just referred to as matana. So Rav Chista had a set of Zerah L'chaim HaKeva. He had Tarti Matan, the Torah. So Rashi says he had a pair of the Zerah L'chaim HaKeva. That certainly means he had two Zerahs, two L'chaim, two Kevas, or he had two of the three. I'm not sure exactly what it means. He had a pair of them. And the issue over here is, so he was, let's assume for a second he was a kohen. We'll see in Rashi exactly what was his status. No, Rashi doesn't talk about it. Tosis touches on it in Kulin. So he was a kohen, and he'd received these as a matana. They're mutar the zorin, and he said the following: Omer kol man da osi va'omer li shmeitza chadza mishmei de rav. He tells me something. He was a talmud of Rav, and he wanted to hear more from his rebbe. His rebbe was no longer alive. If someone would teach me something new which I had not heard from Rav before, so I'm willing to give him these matanas. So then yehiv nalei nihalei. I will give it to him. So Amalei Rav Bar Machsia, Hachiyam Rav, Hanoisin Matana Lechaber, Tzarech Lohidiyoi, Shenemar Ladas, Keni Hashem Mekad Yishchem. This statement which we had before that from was Rav Bar Machsia in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurion in the name of Rav. The Rav said this halacha, this concept.
Is this, that was not he had to give this to a coin, and it's just a question of which coin.
No, he owned it already. Assuming he was a kayan. He received it already as a matana. It's much of the zorim, so he can give it to whoever he wants. It's not like chumash, you can't, zorim couldn't need it. So he can say, you know, whoever wants it, I'm going to give him these as a as payment. So he gave him the set of the Zorah L'chaim HaKeva. So Yoav ben Elei. So Omar, so Rav Chama, Rabbi Bar Masya said to Rav Chista, Chaviv ben Alecha Shmaitza the Rav Kuli. Hi, it says that I didn't realize how precious the lessons that Rav said were to you. Amar Lei In, yes, they're very chaviv to me. Amalei says, Hanu Damar Rav, that reminds me of another thing that Rav said. Rav said, Milsa, Abishayo Yakira. Silk, silk or satin, those who wear it understand how to appreciate it. People don't wear it to understand exactly how precious it is, but those who wear it are the ones who really understand how to appreciate it. So you're a Talmud of Rav, so you understand how to appreciate the importance of a statement of Rav. Omar Leis, or Rav Chisda said back to Rabbi Bar Maasya. Omar Rav Hachi, Rav said that. Basraisa Adifali Mikamaisa. This last thing that you told me, I found even more precious than the one you told me before. If I had another set of matanas, I'll give you that also for what you just gave me. Yeah. Some must argue, like, what exactly was why he liked the last one more than the first one. Could be the first one's a point which, I don't know, maybe the person could figure out. I don't know. I'm sort of trying to draw some based on the pasuk. This is a Meshiva says over a story, to tell you a story that he went to tell Zalur, and he was a very big mas, but he wasn't into the Musa part of the yeshiva. Tells was a Musa yeshiva, but he said at the same time the Sidra yeshiva or Sidra yeshiva. So the Musa said, "Either the Musa said or the Shmuz." He went to the Shmuz. But the Rav, besides the Rishiva, was also the Rav of the city. So besides giving Shmuz in the yeshiva, he would also give Shmuz from time to time. And considering the situation in Europe, it was deteriorating. That he would give the drushes in the shul on a semi-regular basis, and. Yeshiva said he didn't go, so that wasn't part of the yeshiva. He'd rather sit and learn. So one day the Rav calls him in, and he says, "I noticed that you weren't by the shmuz in the stadt based matters yesterday, the city based matters, you know, the main shul of the city." He says, "Tell the yeshiva the truth." He says, "I don't understand the purpose of the shmuz in any way." He was American. He always used to say, "I've been American and mechutzif. I was a mechutzif. I was, but." But the Siddur Yeshiva said, "Yeshiva, I'm not going to leave it. The ones in the shul base, you know, the main base shul, you know, I don't know, you know, I have to go." So the Rav said, he says, "There's a Gemara, and one day you'll learn Masechta Shabbos. You'll learn a Gemara, and the Gemara says, Milsa Avishai Yekir. Those who wear it, those understand how precious it is. It's like, give you a bracha, one day you'll understand how precious it is." The Yeshiva says that it went into him like a knife. It was a Nusach. He says, from that point on, he never missed any shmuz. He says, "He would have yelled at me, I wouldn't have listened." But he said it total relaxed. He says, "One day, you should be one of those people who trug in the Mzad, you carry, you're able to wear silk." So, I knew this Gemara long before I ever learned that I knew this Gemara. See Rashi. This is the third line. Tzarech l'diyoy. So you have to inform him, "Matan plenty etzel lucham, I'm going to give you this matana." Without derech kavod, the shem is bayish l'kavod, maybe he will want to take it. By informing him beforehand, he'll accept it. Ben boish b'dover, he's not embarrassed to take it. B'cheinim nitna b'beisar shaloi b'yidu yosef. You put it there. Tzarech l'diyo shmiyoli bo'aloi. Rashi says there's two elements over here. One is that you want to increase the ava, therefore you should inform him. The other one is if you're planning to give it to him, you know, as opposed to surprising him and then getting the person being flustered, etc., it makes sense to inform him beforehand. Rabbi Vidimilis had said once, it was on the tape, I remember he said an interesting mashav. He said, when you give a person a matana, you know, in the good old days, you know, when you had the jeweled, you know, X amount of jewels in your watch, you know, you have a 12 jewel watch, 16 jewel watch, don't take out the piece of paper, because the goal is to increase Ava, the more valuable it is, you know, the better, the more he'll appreciate, the more Ava there'll be. So let him know how valuable it is, you know. You know, they should supposed to leave in the you know the sticker how much it costs, but he should know that you gave him a chashav and matana. Das kini Hashem. Odiyam ani bo shani rosa lekashem. I want you to inform them I'm planning to be mekadosh. Shav the mishka yishav shero b'shemen beneinu. Put a little bit of oil between his eyes. Darah nira, which is noticeable, obvious. She tishalenu imoy miyosekain. So then his mother asked him, what happened? Who did that to you? So-and-so did for me. And vegan pasta, he also gave me some bread to eat. You put a little bit of kuchol, which is like a mascara around his eyes. That's the phrase in Shas. I'm not sure what Rashi means by that. Well, it's in the Lashon of Moli Leib. Rashi means Lashon of Moli Leib. Filling it up, you don't fill it up. It means you put a little bit around it. That you did kishuf to him, so you put a little bit of whatever food you gave him. So make sure he walks home with a little bit of the strawberry jam on his face. Laguye mean nosan loyev. So much will become obvious who gave it to him or not. Matan schara v'hoydiyam ayirei Moshe balpeh maschara. Bershom gave to Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael what exactly is the schar. Rav Volba says in Ali Shur Chelak Aleph, he says if the language of the Mora is, I have a matana toiva in basic nozai. I think I told you this when I learned Beya. Like what's also it's in a basic. It means it's in the storage. It's hidden away, right? So it's a hidden schar. And therefore, it wasn't so much as obvious. You had to be medium. So it's means the there's something about Shabbos which is an element which is hidden. It says, and the more later in Beya then takes it and puts it in a conjunction with that. The more later on in Shabbos talks about that Shabbos is something which is he gets if a person keeps Shabbos he gets a nachla which is bli mitzor, which is without which is limitless. He says, what's the point of being limitless? The whole idea of Shabbos seems to us to be that it's very limiting. So why would the schar be something which is limitless? The schar represents the actual essence of the thing. He says, there's another depth to Shabbos. The depth of Shabbos, the power of limits is that it creates a way to... I had a maisa once, I think I told you this maisa, that I had a fellow who was not from yet. I'm not sure where they ever came from or not, but he once, the story how he got there, but I invited him to come out to visit by the yeshiva. He was from a different city. He ended up coming out to the yeshiva one time, and he was there for Sunday morning. They have a program for people which are not have no background, not from, etc. So he went to the program, and he looked around the campus a little bit, you know, and this is his first time walking into the world of the yeshiva. So I asked him afterwards, how did it go? He says, Rabbi, you live in a box. And you interact with the world from your box. He wasn't saying it as a compliment. So I said to him, I says, I see that your attitude is that limits are a bad thing. He says, I want to ask you the following question. I said, you have a fellow who's going to college. He's really not sure what he wants to do with his life. And... So he decides he'll take a lot of different options, and he'll keep all of his options open. So he's going to take, you know, something to do with the law, the prerequisites to go to law school, and he'll take something which should help him to go into medical school, and something maybe which leave open options of going to becoming an architect. And he's keeping open options of maybe going into biology and, you know, becoming a biology professor. You know, he's taking a lot of different options open, you know. So he's taking this tremendous workload and he's gone out of his mind. He says, you know, I'm never going to become a biology professor. I'm not going to become an architect. I want to go to law school. So he drops all the biology classes. He drops all of the mechanical, you know, all of the engineering classes. And it's that. So is that a good day or a bad day? He says, it's a pretty bad day. At this point, from this point on, the chances are he'll never become an architect or a doctor or a biologist. He'll only become a lawyer. That's limiting. Isn't that terrible? No. Limits allow you to focus on what you have to focus on and become what you're supposed to become. It says the limits are a valuable thing. It gives you the ability. It says maybe the box is not a box. Maybe the box is a doorway into another world. He says that, and that's the idea of the limits give you a way to go into another. So you go to shul, or, right, and you find it very limiting that you don't have your wife next to you, which was one of his issues. And I said, maybe that's true, but maybe the purpose of the limit is, if the goal of going to shul is to spend time with your wife and your family, that's a problem. If your goal is to focus on speaking to Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe it's good not to have your wife next to you. The limit allows you to go into a different world. So that's the thing, that's Revolver's point about that the limits of Shabbos allow you to go into, there's another world which exists, which the world of Ruchni is, world which is not obvious, which is not visible, which is, it's hidden. Limits of this world allow you to go into that other world, and that's what the Mor is saying. It's basically another. Don't ask me how I thought of it on the spot. It was Kodesh Baruch Hu totally. I was like, whoa, that was a good answer. Russian, thank you. Rav Chisson is Kayan Hava. Chisson was a Kayan. Kedaminin Gabi Irach Hoyis Beretz Yisrael. About Shmonim Zugas Achim Kahanim and Suam Shmonim Zugas Achius Kahanis. There is 80 pairs of brothers who married 80 pairs of sisters of Kahanim and Kahanis. Both can be stirred. Nahardov will Ashuchu Elatarti. And the only example which she found of that was the two daughters of Rav Chisda married to Raman Bar Chama and Mar Uka Bar Chama. So that was the two remaining. I'm not sure they were from Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure exactly. There's an argument over there exactly to say that it was like. They did the same thing, but they weren't the same. But Rashi over here is saying that the Peshattas, they did the same thing to be like them, and the sons of a Kayan marrying the daughters of a Kayan. He had a set of Zerah L'Chaim HaKeba. Pashmin, he had one set of Zerah L'Chaim HaKeba, which is given to him. Rashi L'Achil in Yisrael, he gave it to another Yisrael. Now, Baba Gabler Chista B'chutz L'Oretz Hava. So Lechera, you should figure out from this Gemara that the Matanah is applied even to Chutz Loretz. So if you shecht now when the sitting in America and you shecht your behemoth, you have a chiyuv to give Zerah L'Chaim HaKeva to the Kayan. Lo yafinu mihocha the Matanah noigas b'zman hazeh. It's no raya that the noig b'zman hazeh. Why? The idna noig alma k'tlos sabi. Nowadays, the Mor says in Brachas, we rely on these opinions of there's in three different topics, but there are three opinions of these Zkenim of Gedolim, which we rely on each one in their own area. Kribyoshia Beklayim, Kribyhuda Betulis Balkari, Korean the Talmud Torah, Kribyloi, Voracious Agas. So he's not getting, Rashi's not getting involved in the other two. But in regards to the third one, he says, we rely on Kribyloi, Voracious Agas. Shoya Omer, Kribyloi said, Eno Noig Ela Boritz. It only applies there to Israel. That Allah Rishis Agaz also applies to Matanis. These Matanis Kuhuna, which are not Isser, they are not, it's something which is in the ground. So you would think that possibly that maybe they apply even to Chusloris as opposed to Truma, which we know obviously applies only in Eretz Israel. So Rabbi Allah Shita was no, they only apply in Eretz Israel. Now, Bemeir Chista, Akati Loi Noa Kirby Loi, that Hanhaga had not become accepted yet. That Pesach had not become accepted yet. But already, B'meir B'nachem Rav Yitzchok, Chisda was a second generation Amora. B'meir B'nachem Rav Yitzchok, which was later, he was like a fourth generation Amora, fifth generation Amora. No, Kibosei B'Rabashis Agez, Loi B'Matanis. So B'nachem Yitzchok was the one who said that statement over there in Brachis. He only mentioned Rashis Agez. Because that was all which had been accepted. But nowadays we see that apparently it was accepted even further, even in regards to Matanis. Even though Rabbi Law Shita was one opinion, and it wasn't necessarily, but the Gemara had said it become accepted, and this is what people did, and the Gemara was giving, was countenancing it. The Gemara was saying that it's acceptable what people have done. So now, similarly, they it became then accepted practice. So even though there was never a psak anywhere in the Gemara that we should be noyig like Rabbi Loi in regards to matonas that they don't apply the kutz laws, but I see that has become the accepted minig. So that's now become the accepted minig. We're going to maintain that minig. So interesting halachic rashi over here. Chadosh shlosh shemate. I want a new statement of Rav. So he said. So he told him this halacha of Yisrael Yilima. He said, "Wow,
what?
You really like hearing things from Rav." So Milsa Abishai Yakira. Me'il, cloak is dumb of your carbon. The Misha Rogel of Leivshir. The person who wears it understands how valuable it is. Klarim lefisha ata tamidu shal rav v'rogel b'shmoy sov ata mechazer achareim. Because you're a Talmud of Rav and you understand, you learn by him, so you want to hear more of what he said. I just said yesterday, somebody says, I have to tell you a story I heard from the name of a gifter. Like, why did he pick me? Because he figured I would appreciate it, right? Actually did. Yeah. Omer Rav Bar Machsi, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guri, Omer Rav. The Morris says another statement, the name of Rav. Lelem Ayishan Olam Benoy Ben Habonim. Person should not treat one of his sons different than the other ones. Shoshil Mishkel Shnei Sloyim Milas Shnosin Yaakov LeYosef Yosef Misharechov, for a garment which is the weight. It was a weight of two sloyim's worth of milas of this precious material. For that, Niskanavoy Echov, that was caused the kina. Niskagal Adar, we heard ever said in the Mitzrayim, and that was eventually brought Klal Yisrael down to Mitzrayim. So Grashi, Mishkol Beis Loyim, Lav Dafka, Nokat. Beis Loyim is not a large amount. So Ashi says it didn't really mean it was more than that. But he's saying, you know, a minimal amount compared to the total reality of the person's life was a minimal amount. But it was so we refer to it as a small amount. Now, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi Matzasi, from the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Halevi, which is one of his Rebbeim, I found written, so does Pasim, that they touch the word pasim is the soviv pas yodin nosin milas v'loikoloksonis. The pas yodin is the palm of your hand. See, it wasn't a full garment. It was something which he gave him, like something which he puts around his hand. It wasn't a full garment. That would make sense. The way two sloyim's worth would make sense on that phrase. Okay. V'omer rav bar masya, omer rav chama bar gurya, omer rav. Interesting Gemara. A person should sit in a city, live in a city which is young, which has just been settled recently. Why? Because the younger it is, the less avarice there are. The Relay Lapian says that the Bresham destroyed by the Mabel, destroyed the ground also. He destroyed the whole everything. So why destroy everything? He says, "What's wrong with the ground?" He says, "He gave a mushal. There was a hospital in Eretz Yisrael, or a hospital. I'm not sure it was. You know, hospital. When he was young, it was in Europe still. There was a hospital which there was problems. People were going to the hospital. People were getting sick and people were dying." So finally, they realized that one of the viruses which had developed in the hospital had developed. It somehow had gotten into the walls of the thing, and it was generating itself there in the. So people were going in healthy or semi-healthy, at least regards to that point, were getting infected by this virus. And they were dying. So the only one thing that they had to rip down the whole hospital down to the thing, burn it down, and start over again. It says a certain amount that you can contaminate the air. The air was contaminated. So. There's a certain amount of tumah which the city generates, and the more avarice, the more tumah. So you don't want to live in a city with a lot of tumah. Rishiva used to have his comment. He used to apply that to the New York City. He said, "I don't understand how you can live in New York City." He says, "There's so much tumah over there. I don't understand how you can live there." Anyway, okay.
Time to
move it. What?
Start over again.
After yeshiva's been. Well, it's not about a yeshiva, it's not about a city. Yeshiva doesn't mean it's yeshiva. Yeshiva means living, the dwelling of there. It's go to the city which has been settled recently, because a city which has been old city has got a lot of avarice in it. You don't want to live in a place with a lot of avarice. So what do you do? I don't know. Yeah, have their other problems. Have other problems with them. They're weird. Okay, yeah, that's for sure true. Yeah. Shenemar, he didn't know how years this kriva lanu shama vehimitzor. So Lloyd says to the Malachim, "Let me go to Tzoyer. I'm afraid to go out. I'm afraid to go out to the mountains. Let me go to Tzoyer. Why? Because this city is kriva, and it's mitzor. It's small." So my kroiva, what was he saying? It's kroiva. Ilema kroiva de mikarva bezuta. It was nearby and it's zuta. I mean, so what was he pointing out to the Malach? He said, this place is kroiva, therefore I should... the Malach couldn't see that. I mean, he sees that. But kechazilo, he sees that. Hell, it means, mitashe yeshivasa kroiva avonasel mutzorim. You're destroying the cities because they have a virus. This city, the city of Tzor, was settled after the other cities of Stoim, the area of Stoim. So since it was settled later, therefore its avarice are less. Therefore, this city, it's not the avarice are not as bad as other ones. You can let the city exist. Omer of Oven Mikra, where's the source in the pasuk that it was settled later than the other cities? Deceive imolta noshama. Let me go, please. Let me go there. No, begematria is nun bechad havi. Noah is the Gematria 51. Michel Stoim is Nun Bebeis. We know Stoim was 52 years old. Michel Vosa is Chavov, and of those 52 years, 26 of its years, it was in a state of war. The Chsiv, Shtemes Veshana, of those Kador Lohimer. Veshoshes Veshana, Muradu. For 12 years, they were under the rule of Kador Lohimer. For 13 years, they were rebelling against him. They were in a state of war against him. Rabbi Sveshono, and the 14th year, came to the Lord, and they had the fight. So, if it existed for 52 years, all those 52 years, we see that 26 of them, the 12 was they were under the Buddha of Kedar Loimer, and the 13 which they were in a state of rebellion against Kedar Loimer. So that's 12 and 13 is 25. And the 14th year, they had their fight, they had the war. So that adds up to 26 of those years were not in a state of Shalva. So the whole Shalva of the storm was only 26 years long. Okay, what's this whole story about the 51 and 52? So Rashi fleshes all of it out just before. I'll do it outside first, then we'll do it inside. Everybody was together. Before the Haflaga, everybody was together in one place. They were all together in Bovel. So there was no settling of Storm or any city. Everybody was in Bovel. From the Haflaga till this point in time was 52 years. Rashi's going to figure out the calculation, why it was 52 years. So that being said, Storm was one of the cities which was settled immediately after the Haflaga. They came there and they've settled the city of Storm. The city of Tzor was settled a year later. So Lot's argument was the Veras in this, apparently it finally hit its peak at this point in time. It's time to destroy that. This other city didn't hit its peak yet, so I can live there still. That which it was, the point that its shalv was only 26, that just really wasn't, that's not again to our Gemara. Once the more brings it, the more makes the calculation at that point also. Zok Rashi. It's been settled recently. It's a new city. So he said, it's the Mikra Lanusham. It's close to run there. Bezuta, and it's small. And therefore you don't have to mind the fact that you let it continue to exist and not be destroyed. The Malach sees it's right here and it's small. If that was his argument, so what was he saying? So he was saying Yeshivasa Kroiva. It was settled more recently. Shana Achas Kalmullah Stoim. Shtoyim was settled a year earlier than Tzoyer. In Mefarish, like the more explained, Shtoyim is Chamishim Mishtayim. Shtoyim was 52 years old. We know that the Bani Migdol, which the Pasuk says was everybody, were all in Eretz Shinor. The only place everybody was living was in that one place. That's where they went after the Mabul, and that's where they stayed. Then they left. There, afterwards, they spread out everywhere else. At the time of the Haflaga, they built cities. And that's so all the other cities were settled from that point and onwards. And that was 52 years. How do I know that? At the time of the death of Peleg, it was the Haflaga. How do we know? Kedatanya Beseder Oilam. Rabbi Yossi says, Novi Gadol Hoya Aver. Aver had a son named Peleg, and he called him Peleg because he was a Novi. Shekar Benoi Peleg, Kibiyam of Niflika Haaretz. The Pasuk says, Kibiyam of Niflika Haaretz. So how did he know that? There was something which didn't take place when he called him, gave him his name, because he was a Novi. The Seder Olam continues and says, "Betchilas Yomov," that it took place when he was young. He says during his lifetime it happened. So what does it mean during his lifetime? What point? It means when he was young. It can't be. Halo Yaktan Ochiv. It says Yaktan, which is his younger brother, Katan Mimenu. V'halo Mishpachos Minispalgu. He gave birth to 12 children before the Haflaga. So apparently they had time for Yochanan to grow up, get married, and have 12 children before the Haflaga happens. It wasn't when Peleg was a young man. So maybe it took place sometime later on in his lifetime. He lived for whatever 200 and something years, whatever the number was that Peleg lived. It's not, if the Pasuk is trying to tell you something based on Peleg, it would make sense that the Pasuk is telling you something which would give you some type of clarity when it took place. He lived for 200 plus years, so that didn't, when is the Haflaga? I don't know, sometime during the 200 year period. The Pasuk is trying to tell you a time, it makes sense, therefore, Ela B'Sef Yomov, it was at the end of his life. Seba Chashoev, Shneser Shal Peleg, if you work out the years of Peleg, Shana Shemes Bo, Hishnas Memches La Avraham. He died when Avraham was 48 years old. Based on how old each one was when they gave birth. Ukeshachar of Stoim Hishnas Tzadites La Avraham. The destruction of Stoim took place when the Malachim came to tell Avraham that he's going to have a son. And a year later, he had a son. So he was 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak. He was 99 when the Malachim came, and then they proceeded from there to go to Stoim to destroy Stoim. He was 99. That day was the day they came to give the tidings that Sarah is going to have a child. The son of Cheres Yolda, and he was born a year later. And it says, Rambam Ma'ashana, he was 100 years old when he gave birth to Yitzchak. So he was 99 when they came. He was 48 when it was settled. So counting 48, the year it was settled, he was 48. 48 to 99 is 52 years. That which Stoim had, this wonderful state of Shalva. It says, Goin Sivas Lechem, they were proud of their surveyor from their Lechem. Vashalva's Hashkein, and they had this. They were proud of the fact that they had this total peace, Hayulah, that Stoim had. Nesiv lo yodu, ayod lo hitrichu, that no wayfarers came there to bother them, no ayat, no vulture came there to went there. So how long was that? That they had this shalva, this tremendous shalva, which the pasuk is ascribing to them. Esim Meshesh, it was 26. Nesiv Shtei Meshesh Shana Obdus Kolo Lomer. So Ein Zu Shalva. That's not shalva if they're under the boot of Kedar La'omer, they're serving him. They were fighting back against Kedar La'omer. Rechafe, that's 25. Mishnas Chavov, so they had the war. Then what happens? Avram ran after Kedar La'omer, and there Kedar La'omer, he was, then Avram beat him. So that was the end of Kedar La'omer. From that point onwards, they had shalva. The pasuk is telling you they had now peace for the remaining 26 years. Now, I'm not sure exactly what it means. Rashi is saying it means that the first 26 years was immediately after the Haflaga, Kedar La'omer took advantage of them. Tell the story with Lot and Avraham. And then they had 26 years after that, which sounds like Rashi seems to read. I'm not sure that was exactly the math. It was Rashi saying that, because then you would have the story of Lot and Avram took place when Avram was 73. I don't know whether that works out in the math of Seder Olam, when exactly Avram came to Eretz Yisrael, the whole thing took place with Lot. But according to this calculation, that's Rashi's only good saying. Okay. Tosis raises the question over here on Yudim Abayz. The way Rashi sets it up, so Avram was 73 when he fought against the four Malachim and killed them. And the Seder Adlam says he was 75. So lesson means they had 2 years of Shalva and then they had 24 afterwards, the Seder Olam says that all happened in that 1 year. He came there to Israel, there was a Rav, he went down to Mitzrayim for 3 months, came back, had the story with the Malachim. So it says, you have to say there was 2 years of Shalva before, and there was 24 years of Shalva afterwards, and it doesn't mean all of us. Rashi seems to read it was. Right. But the Seder Olam says that it all took place in the same year. Vomer Rav, that he came to Eretz Yisrael, he went down to Mitzrayim, he came back and had the fight with the Malachim, all took place in the same year. Vomer Rav Bar Masi, Omer Rav Chama, Bar Guri, Omer Rav, Kol Ir Shigag Yosel, Gevoyim Mi Beis HaKnesses, the Soif is going to be Chareva, a city which they build their homes higher than the Shul, that is a source for Korban. Shenemar, it says the Rebbe is Beis HaLokenu. If you lift up the Beis HaLokenu, Lahamid is Korban Sov, and that will you strengthen the Chorobos of the that they shouldn't become Korban in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the end of the pasuk says, where Rashi learns, it says Los is not a get a Yehuda. That'll give us a right to be established in Yehuda. So. So we're learning from the Beis HaMikdash to the Shul. That's all referring to the places where a person would live. But the Kashkushi, Rashi says that they were like towers that they built. They built towers around the city. Lanoi, some Lanoi was like the fort to protect the city. That wasn't made for the purpose of living in. It was made to be... to be just for to either take care of things or you need a high place to be able to be for the fort, etc. That's a logical thing why it's there, or alternatively it was just made for noise, so that's not a problem. The Ramah brings down the Talacha. He says that therefore the height of the house is only measured from the amount of the house which is usable. But that would you make a gabled roof when you know which to make it look nice, etc. But you can't live in there. It's made you know it's too steep, etc. That's not considered part of the calculation of the height. I was very careful about this, and therefore I protected Masa Machia that it shouldn't be destroyed. But the Merkasha Bahar Chorva did it was destroyed. It wasn't destroyed because of this problem. I removed that problem. That's the end of the pasuk. Through we made the basic lakeno higher, therefore we had a getter be Yehuda. We were able to be established in Yehuda. Keshutri Bevrure is Bernoyos Umigdolim. Birun is also like it's a form of a tower. I'm not sure the difference in the two types of towers, but they're both types of towers. Rav Ashi was Rosh Hashiva Hoya B'Masa Machsia. He was Rosh Hashiva in the city of Masa Machsia, Masa Machsia. And he withheld them like Bia Batayim Yersim Visekinesis, that he shouldn't build the houses higher than the shul, and that's what he was saying. This is Allah brought down Shulchan Aruch. Then the question always, so the Mishnah Berurah brings ready the question, says, if you live in a city where the government building houses taller than the shul, does Eser apply? He says it doesn't apply anymore. But theoretically, you're building a Jewish city, you have to make, Lahavdol, they have, you know, there was a rule in many, it was a law in many cities that you can't build a house taller than the church. That was, so we have that concept, you know, the time of Gemara already. You can't build
that applied to a high-rise.
Right, that's the point.
What about a city?